The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Well, as Flo said, I'm David, and I work over at OSF, and I've been blessed to be able to join every one of you and become part of your church family while I'm here. This morning we're going to be reading from Psalm 46, but I thought before that we could just say another prayer, because prayer is always good. So would you join me? Heavenly Father, as we open up your word this morning, we pray that you would be the one who's guiding our thoughts, our hearts. Lord, open our mind to what it is that you have for us. Lord, be guiding all that we do, all that we know. Lord, let it all be for you. It's in your name that we pray for this. Amen. So this morning we're going to be reading from Psalm 46, and I think it'll be up there behind me, maybe. Ah, there it is. Perfect. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Did any of you, when you were little, did you ever get lost? Because I don't really remember a whole lot from the time I was about five or so, but one thing sticks out in my memory pretty clearly. My mom decided she was going to take me to the store, and if you know me, that's not exactly my favorite activity, but she decided to take me, and everything was going fine. There's my older brother, Christopher, my mom and I, and we're just trotting along. And being the curious five-year-old I was, I decided to wander off and find a nice toy that I liked. And up until that point, everything had seemed pretty safe, pretty secure, except for I turned around, and my mom wasn't there. Now, for me, that as a five-year-old, that induces some panic. So I'm looking all around, And all of a sudden, my world didn't seem quite as safe as I thought. Now, in reality, my mom is 10 feet away behind the clothing rack. I'm just not tall enough to see her. But for five-year-old me, it was pretty scary. Scary enough that it sticks with me 20 years later. And I think this kind of helps to get at what the psalmist is feeling. Not that he's been lost in a store, but that his world, it's starting to come crashing down. He's not sure what's happening. Security seems to be something of the past for him. And he wants to tell us just how bad of a situation he has. And so he uses some imagery in verses 2 and 3. And he says, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging." Now, I don't know exactly what the psalmist is getting at, but I don't think he's saying that there's fissures opening up beneath his feet. I don't think he's saying that the earth is literally giving way. I don't think the mountains are literally tumbling down into the heart of the sea. I don't think a literal description of what's going on is what the psalmist is going for here. Rather, I think he's trying to describe what his world feels like. You see, in the mindset of ancient Israel, the mountains, they're a powerful image. They're a place of security. Not only are they strategic military positions, but they're also quite often holy places in Scripture. There are places where God would come down to meet his people. At Mount Sinai, God comes down and makes a covenant with Israel. He promises that he will not leave them. At Mount Carmel, the prophet Elijah calls on God to help him overcome the prophets of Baal. And God answers his call. In the face of opposition, God proves himself to be a God worth trusting. And God himself makes his dwelling place among his people. On Mount Zion, he comes and lives among his chosen, beloved Israel. Later in the Psalms, we come across these Psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. And these are thought to be songs that the Israelites would sing as they walked up the hill to Jerusalem. Their praise is offered to God as they enter into his presence in Mount Zion. And so for the people of Israel and for our psalmist, these mountains conjure up images of God, of safety, of security. And now, all of a sudden, he's saying these mountains are falling into the heart of the sea. His world is starting to seem not so secure. These symbols of God's presence are now thrown into another powerful image in the mind of Israel, the sea. Except for instead of an image of safety and refuge and strength, instead we get one of chaos, one where destruction reigns. The seas rage and foam. For the psalmist, the sea represents everything that is terrifying in his world. A place where there's no control. And these mountains of strength, of God's presence, are being swallowed up. They quake at the power of the waters. And in verse 6, the psalmist continues to tell us about his world. Nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall. The nations themselves are unstable. Israel experiences this firsthand when they go into exile in Babylon. They know what it means that their future is uncertain. To have all that they held dearly taken away. The world the psalmist lives on is one where nothing is certain anymore. One where what had once seemed stable was now in question. His world was falling apart. Things are not as they should be. Do you ever get that feeling? You look out at the world and you think, you know, things just don't seem right sometimes. We look around us just like the psalmist did, and sometimes we have to just shudder a little bit at what we see. We see that our world is in danger of being swallowed up by those seas of chaos. Those things that were once secure are now not so. We only have to look at the news to see evidence of this. We see increasing rates of gun violence, and in the hospital I see that with frightening regularity. We see the politics of our time becoming increasingly heated and divisive. And instead of trying to understand one another, people are content with turning it into a shouting match. There's no peace to be had in our Congress. Our government seems to be at war with itself. And while I was growing up, I took for granted that our nation would be unified and that there'd be respect for one another. It seems like that might be in question. Mountains of certainty cast into the raging seas of our world. We might learn from our brothers and sisters in Christ who lives in places where to be Christian is a punishable offense. There's no safety in simply praising the Maker. And instead, they live with the constant threat that their door might be kicked down and that their reality might be crashing all around them. Again, there's mountains of certainty turning into things that are not so. Flo mentioned that I'm a chaplain over at St. Francis, and I'm truly blessed to have the opportunity to serve God there. It's my privilege to come alongside patients, to meet them in their need. I meet people from all walks of life, the young and the old, rich and the poor, people from all sorts of cultural backgrounds, people who are hopeful, and people who are in the pit of despair. And all of them share one thing that binds them together. Their lives are falling apart. I spend most of my time visiting patients on the oncology floor, and quite a few of these people have lived perfectly normal lives up until this point. They had no idea that they would be staying in the hospital for well over a month. They had no idea they would be dealing with the terrible disease that cancer is. I know there are a number of people here in our church family who are struggling and have struggled with cancer. We are faced daily with the reality that our world is not as it should be. That at times there is a darkness that we cannot explain. Uncertainty that rocks us to our core. And there's not one of us here in this room who escapes the sting of pain and loss in our lives. And many of us have felt that keenly as we've just celebrated Christmas. We're reminded of those who are not there. We're separated by distance, by damaged relationships. Family members have passed away. No, we do not need reminding that our world has pain, that the things we cling to with certainty are not always as stable as we would hope. These are the kinds of thoughts that rush through the head of the psalmist as he picks up his pen. The world was in question. What was to come was no longer sure. And what could he do? Where was he to turn when the world had turned its back on him? But the psalmist doesn't leave us in that place. He doesn't leave us mired in chaos and doubt. And instead, he turns to the one thing that he knows to be sure, the one thing he knows that will never fail. In verses 4 and 5, he lifts up the city of God. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and God will help her at break of day. The city of God assures the psalmist that God has not left, that there is a place where God dwells, there's a place that will be secure. And he clings to the knowledge that God will be there. In verses 9 and 10, the psalmist continues and tells us what the Lord will do. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Our God is not subject to the pulling and pushing of our world. Our God is one who stands secure. He puts an end to the fighting on earth. He shatters the tools of those who would sow chaos and uncertainty. And instead, he proclaims his sovereignty. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Our God is one of strength and one of safety. And the psalmist tells us as much in the refrain in verses 7 and 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. in the midst of all of the terrible things he sees, there is one thing and one thing only that remains fixed in his eyes. He looks and he sees God. The God of Jacob is his fortress. We know him as Emmanuel. He is God with us. This is one of my favorite terms for God, and particularly appropriate as we've celebrated the birth of our Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And as followers of Christ, we can say that with certainty in our voices. Our God is God with us. When our world seems so broken that it is beyond repair, we have an assurance that there is one who is bringing healing to it. Jesus is not a savior who is unconcerned with the world and its suffering. Scripture tells us that it is in fact just the opposite. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He loved the world enough that he was not willing to abandon it. He was not willing to leave it to the destructive forces that sin has. And instead, he comes down to earth and he stills those raging seas so that once what seems so overwhelming is no longer so. He makes it so that they do not have the final say in our world. In the midst of all that is wrong and broken, we have a Savior we can cling to. And our God does not brush aside the reality that our world is not like it should be. He does not shy away from the pain and the hurt. Rather, he joins us in it. God shares in our pain and our suffering. He is Emmanuel, God with us, even in the darkest of times. Our God is there. I mentioned that many of the patients I encounter, particularly on oncology, ask variations on the same question. No matter what demographic they come from, what age group, what cultural background, they all have the same question. They ask why. Why are things like this? Why is it my world that's falling apart? And I am also consistently amazed at the hope some of my patients display. I get through talking with patients after some of their diagnoses, and I am floored by what they tell me next. After talking about how scared they are, that they aren't sure what their lives will look like in 6 months, I hear them say, "But I know that God is good. But I know God is good. Everything seems to be falling apart around me. But I know God is good. I don't know why this has come to me or what I'm supposed to do with it, but I know that God is good. I have a horrible disease that is eating away at my body. But I know God is good." It is at times like these that I am reminded of our companion on our journey of faith, the Holy Spirit. I'm fond of another name for God. Throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, literally the one called alongside. He is the one that Christ has sent to be with us, to bear with us through our lives, the good and the bad. In times where it feels like our world is crashing down all around us, he points us back to the one true source of comfort in our lives. When the mountains of certainty in our world come crashing down, when they're in danger of being swallowed up, He points us to our refuge, the one thing that will never fail. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As followers of Christ, we have hope. We do not give in to the temptation to despair, for we know the one true Savior of our world, Jesus Christ. We have faith in a God who does not leave the world to the chaos that so often presses in. In the midst of the darkness, Jesus gives us hope and reminds us that this is not the end. We have the good news that sin, evil, and chaos do not have the final say. We are given the Holy Spirit, the one called to our side, and he stands firm with us. When the world seems too much to bear, he stands with us. And he points us back to the rock of our salvation, Christ himself. So may we serve as God's beacons of light in a world that is often faced with the daily realities of sin, a world that is all too often uncertain and unstable and frightening. As followers of a mighty Savior, we get to show the world what it looks like to know Jesus Christ. We are not alone. And this is not the end. And so we echo the psalmist. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we can never offer enough thanks for what you have done for us. We thank you for the gift of your Son this morning. As we celebrated his birth, we are reminded that no matter what else happens, our God is God with us. No matter what seas of chaos might come to us, Lord, we are reminded that you are our fortress, that we can lean into you. And so, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to put our trust in you and in you alone. Bring us comfort when it seems there's none to be had, Lord. Be with us. It's in the most holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.